What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm Jedi, and with me always is Houdini and Deepaw. What's popping, boys?
Jedi, I'm counting down the moments till somehow we have an Eastern Conference final. Panthers, Rangers. Houdini versus Jedi.
You know, I just wanted to talk about that. You said exactly that in our group chat. You said you're looking forward to the Eastern Conference finals. Are you sweating a little bit?
Yes, I actually am.
Okay. Yeah, because I think you jinxed yourself.
No, I'm not hitting the panic button, because at the end of the day, you know how this works when you get to the playoffs in any sport. The only sport that you can't say this to is football, because it is one games. But when you play seven game series, you know, you don't expect to play a perfect seven games. I expected this to be a seven game series. So however you get there, whether it's three, like you each win one and then you get to seven, or it's 3-0 and then it goes 3-3 and you play games. I expected it to go seven with these guys. They're a Ranger, really, really dangerous hockey club.
I think you got to be sweating it here. I think the 3-0 is what absolutely killed you too. I know it was a close game, game four, but it just felt like they had the entire world rolling with them. And then all of a sudden it just up and changed real quick.
Yeah.
Is it that President's Trophy curse? Is that really what's coming to fruition right now?
Well, the truth is if you blow a 3-0 lead in the second round, you don't deserve to win the cup. It's that simple. You know, like I'm not saying it. I would say it if it was any club. It just happens to be mine. The Rangers have had flaws playing 5-on-5. You're getting exposed right now. Rod Brind'Amour, the coach of the Hurricanes, was the captain under Peter Laviolette's Hurricanes team when they won the cup. He is very familiar with that system. Brind'Amour is a really, really smart coach. He's made the right adjustments. I disagree with some of the lineup situations with the Rangers. Matt Rempe should not be dressing if he's going to play 3 minutes. There's other guys that can eat 7-8 minutes in the fourth line role. But yeah, no, you're starting to sweat. Naturally, you're starting to sweat. Not because in the back of your mind, you were up 3-0, now it's 3-2. That's not it. I'm sweating because I'm a New York fan.
You're sweating a little bit because of that, Dino.
I'm a New York fan.
And that's why I'd like to pose the question on Deepaw, because you're not a New York fan. Are you feeling for Houdini right now or no, because you're a Pittsburgh guy?
I know my boy's going through it right now, because we haven't even talked about the Knickerbockers either. So he's feeling it on a two-sport front. So
yeah.
For his sake, I know he's a huge Knicks fan, but for his sake, if it's one or the two for my boy, I want the Rangers to win for him. That's coming from a Penguins fan too.
Yeah, and look, like I think we do have a mutual understanding that I don't really think either one of us like the Hurricanes.
No. I'm actually kind of pulling for the Hurricanes on a Penguins front, because if they reach the finals but don't win it, the Pens get their first round of pick back.
Yes, but realistically, like, what do you get? The 30th pick gives a shit.
Right, exactly.
But we'll make sure to keep you updated with that when the next time that we do film. Shohei Ohtani's translator, let's see, Impepe.
Ipe.
Ipe.
We agreed that we were just going to call him Ipe the translator.
I don't even care. The translator pleads guilty to multiple charges for bank fraud and subscribing to false tax returns. He could face 30 years in prison, but will most likely face about 7 to 9 years. Now, this is now coming out that he pled guilty to this. It's official. There's no ruling on his sentence yet, but more information is coming out about this whole case with federal agents. They were all investigating into this, and it has now come out that the translator impersonated Shohei Ohtani on the phone with the bank more than 24 times to wire money from Ohtani's account to pay for his gambling debts. I have two questions, and they're the same questions that I asked before. But if you're Shohei Ohtani, how do you not know $16 million is missing from your bank account? Because you have to have FU money to not even glimpse.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the only logical explanation. Like, we've talked about it. Like, how do you not know that much is missing? Well, when you have so much, it's the only explanation for it.
Yeah, I mean, look. Originally, I took the hot take that he knew. Now I'm just taking the hot take that this dude's a dumbass. Because, like, you know what I mean? Like,
you can't even argue that.
Yeah, like, dude, you're just dumb. It's bad. It's bad. It's not on Ohtani. There's a clear reason why he wasn't suspended. Obviously, this dude had no idea. And you're right. When you're making that kind of bread, I don't think I'm noticing if a couple crumbs go missing.
Crumbs.
That's what it is.
What's crazy to me is just that, like, that didn't even pay off his debt. Like, that's how much.
that's how bad this dude is at gambling. That's how bad this dude
couldn't do it.
Like, 16 like, mil doesn't
part
even.
That blows my mind.
Like, it doesn't even get him out of the hole. Like, he can't even ask for another 250 to.
Dude, I wonder what some of the, like, what some of his hits were, though. Like, what crazy parlays he was betting out there that he actually hit on. Like, those 20 grand parlays he's throwing down.
Well, he was betting couple, on right? Japanese like, hockey leagues, wasn't he? That we found out. Wasn't
Japanese
that what it was?
Hockey leagues. I don't even know wasn't if there
that,
is one.
I thought that's what we were talking about that we found out. Like it was like mostly like a Japanese hockey league or something crazy like that.
This is the type of gambler I think he is, right? Alabama played Michigan for the national title, right? I expect him to put $25,000 on Michigan, and then I expect him to put $25,000 on Alabama. So at the end of the night, he feels like a winner, but he still loses like 31,000.
Doesn't work.
Yeah. That's the gambler I envision if this dude's down so much money.
Now, what do you think was going through his head, though? Like, did he actually think he was going to get away with this? Or do you think at some point he's like, man, I'm in too deep. Like, just go for it.
Yeah.
Maybe I could flee the country and like not have debt anymore. Like, is that what he was going for? I mean, geez.
Yeah, like. Like, what millionaire you're like, yeah, this dude's never going to find out. He really is a dumbass. Like, 10? Once you get the double digits?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I feel like if you're the guy doing it, you're sitting there, and after 5 million, he hasn't noticed. Right. After 7.5, he hasn't noticed. After 10, he hasn't noticed. You're like,
still,
I'm good. I can do this the rest
15,
of my life.
He's like, oh, I'm literally good for my life.
You know, but I do think there reaches a point of desperation where you're trying to make it back. I have to give him the benefit of the doubt that his goal was to even up and then stop. That's pretty much how most gamblers kind of operate that are addicted to gambling is, well, let me just get this back to even and then I'll just stop. The problem with that is I've never met anyone that got back to even and just stopped. So anyone that got back to even was like, I'll just deposit 200 more. I'm good.
Yeah, and honestly, it's kind of crazy that the MLB still, in my opinion, has swept this under the rug. You know, yes, this article did come out about the whole case, but was it this big storyline like it was in the beginning? No. I don't see it all over ESPN, and I just think that that's crazy. It's the biggest player in the sport, and it's just swept under the rug by Rob Manfred. I'm not saying Ohtani's guilty or he should be suspended or anything. I'm not saying that. I just find it fascinating that it's not a huge story anymore.
No, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
I think once he officially goes to prison, it will be a story. It'll be the conclusion of it all.
Paul Skeens makes his MLB debut. He did all right. Is this the guy that the Pirates finally build around? The Pirates have had a history of developing great pitchers, but end up letting them go. You have Gerrit Cole, Tyler Glasnow, Joe Musgrove, Jameson Taillon. I mean, not to mention even some of their position players, Starling Marte, Josh Bell. Now, Paul Skeens didn't make it into the fifth inning after being pulled in his debut. It kind of went from hype to humiliation. The Pirates blew a 6-1 lead when Skeens left by walking in multiple runs against the Chicago Cubs. So is this the guy, though, that they can finally build around?
So I think it was 5 or 6. It was one of the most embarrassing displays of pitching I've ever seen by the Pirates bullpen. I believe it was 6 bases loaded walks consecutively in the same inning. So absolutely brutal. Yes, this is absolutely the dude that they're going to be able to build around. I haven't been this hyped about a pitching prospect since Gerrit Cole. And they're different pitchers, especially Cole when he was younger. Skeens is absolutely electric, dude. That 95 mile an hour splinker he's throwing is just baffling dudes. It baffled dudes at AAA, and I think it's going to continue to baffle dudes for years to come. You know, I hate to even bring it into the world, but the only thing I see derailing his career is an injury. You know, we're talking about an epidemic of elbow injuries. It's the only thing that can derail this guy's career. He's absolutely electric. He could have a dominant 10-year run. I hope it's with Pittsburgh, but you're right, Jedi. We'll see how they do with the new ownership coming in here, or the new management coming in here. Will they actually spend the money? They're going to have a great window to do it here with him.
I'm building around this guy every day of the week, twice on Sunday. And, you know, you get a nice little eye candy who's going to come watch him in the skybox, you know, like Livy Dunn's not bad to look at. So worst case scenario, if he's not good, I'm sure you can sell tickets with her in the stands.
And Pirate fans have already celebrating that. I mean, you have a Livy Dunn jersey, number 69, I saw at PNC
Shocker.
Park.
Shocker.
So it seems like they're already in on it. But
all kidding aside, though, like you hit 117 times in your debut, you have my attention. You have my attention. And he's built like a brick shithouse. I wish you looked like that when I was coaching you, Jedi.
I think his average fastball was 100.1 miles an hour, or something crazy like that.
It was over 100, yeah.
And slider is just filthy.
Yep, and you look at the stats that he put up at AAA, 100 mile an hour pitches, like it was every. I think one other person was on the list, and Skeen did it like 100 times. Like it's crazy.
And I know that this guy wasn't out of high school. He came out of LSU. He was dominant there his final year that he played there. But I think it's kind of interesting. If you look at the past like 5 years, a lot of these first round draft picks are making it to the show really early on, to where if you go 10 years, a lot of them you never even saw make the big league. So I don't know if that's just the younger generation with all of this technology is just better at baseball than the kids 10 years ago were, where you have this Rapsodo, you have Driveline, you have all these different
track
tools. You know, you have all these different tools to get better that you didn't have 10 years ago. Or if, I don't even know. Yeah, I mean, is that like really the thing here?
It's technology and, you know, the evolution of an athlete. Like, evolution's real, and you keep... having more athletic kids and more athletic people, like they're going to get more athletic people to do crazier stuff.
I think it's a hybrid of obviously the information that is out there for a young age is, you know, exponentially greater than what it was 10, 15 years ago. But the size of kids too, compared to 10 or 15 years ago, the kid on Georgia has 33 jacks this year, 34 jacks. Yeah, he's got 34 jacks this year. You know what I mean? Like, I do think it's a hybrid of things, but you know, it's exciting to maybe that starts to turn the interest a little bit on the MLB draft.
Maybe. I also do think a lot of franchises are a lot more, I wouldn't say eager, but willing to invest a lot more in their high draft picks. You know, you're seeing a lot, even second rounders now, they fly up through the minor league systems to where, again, 10 years ago, you never really saw that. I mean, Jackson Holliday's 20 years old. He flew through the minor league system. It was a year and a half. Yeah. And I know that he was sent down, but that's just what I'm trying to prove here is that their commitment to get these guys to the show and give them a shot, I think, is a lot bigger than it was 10 years ago. You're seeing that a lot. I mean, look at even Henry Davis on your Pirates depot. You know, they're giving him a shot.
Hasn't been doing much with it.
But they're giving him a shot, I think, because they invested so much money in him. He got like a $7 million signing bonus. Yep. You want to see what he's got. So where if you're in the 20th round and you have the same skill set as Henry Davis, I'm not so sure you're getting past AAA. Jared Goff gets a massive contract extension, 4 years, $212 million. He's now going to be the highest paid player in Lions franchise history. This deal comes after they locked up their wide receiver, St. Brown, and offensive tackle, Sewell. Are the Lions now going for it here? Clearly. But are they going to be able to do it?
I think this is the best team in the NFC. I think they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender as long as Dan Campbell is at the head of the helm. I think the direction of where they're going compared to where they've been, it's only a matter of time before it pays off. They're dangerous. They play a gritty style of football on the defensive side. Offensively, there was a reason why they had no problem letting go of Swift and Jamal Williams, because Gibbs is just as good. Amon St. Brown might be one of the top five receivers in the league and being able to go up and get a football. And you upgraded Stafford for Goff. it wasn't a loss for the Rams because they won their Super Bowl. But Goff has gone there and has put up monstrous numbers for a guy that many thought was on the tail end of his career. A lot of credit goes to their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson. That was a highly coveted assistant coach this year to take head coaching jobs, including for the Washington Commanders. But he turned down every single one because he wanted to see this through. Their coaching staff is legit. Their head coach is legit. And the product on the field, now they have the support of Motown. It's dangerous in Detroit right now. I don't mean that on the streets. I mean that in football. Which is also dangerous in the streets. It
probably is, yeah. No, for all intents and purposes, they should have been in the Super Bowl last year. Like, they play, you mentioned, they play an aggressive style of football. You know exactly what you're going to get out of Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. And it almost hurt them to a fault there because they were so aggressive. It kind of, at that time, it didn't call for that in the championship game. Love what they're doing. I think this is I don't want to say a great signing because I think it's just so much money. I still think I need to get my head around how much the cap has increased and how much money is just getting thrown out there. But like, they're talking about Dak Prescott next year making $60 million. So if you lock up Goff, I don't have his Goff stats in front of me, but you're right, Houdini. He's been very, very good in that system. They want to run the ball and he's great at play action. Amon-Ra St. Brown's legit. Gibbs is legit. Sam Laporta, they absolutely hit on that as a first round pick last year. He's the next, the best tight end we've seen since Gronk. Like, I know Kelsey's great, but Kelsey's more of a wideout. Laporta actually blocks. It's between them and the Eagles. I know the Eagles were disappointing last year, but if you would just look at talent on the roster, I've never been a big believer in San Francisco. So I think it's between them and the Eagles, early favorites for the Super Bowl out of the NFC.
Yeah, Jared Goff obviously deserves this contract. I think he played up to willing to deserve this for what he's done for that franchise. But how does this Jared Goff's extension affect the free agent market for other quarterbacks currently and in the future?
Well, Deepa, you kind of touched on that before with Dak. I think you're at a point in the NFL where there's not really top-tier quarterbacks. There's a lot of second tier quarterbacks. So would you rather pay a guy that's been in the league for 4, 5, 6 years that's having a decent career, or would you rather draft one? I'd rather pay one that's been doing it. And you're going to, the only team in the world that doesn't have that philosophy is the Atlanta Falcons. So every other team has that kind of same philosophy, unless you're in the lottery and you desperately need a quarterback now. So I do think it inflates the quarterback market. Like Deepa said, I want to see how much that the salary cap increases. I want to see what Dak gets paid. If Dak gets like $60 million a year, then now I'm really concerned for the contracts that are coming up for guys like, I don't know, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, all those guys.
Yeah, so I got the contract list up right here. So Joe Burrow is the most in average per year, $55 million. Goff comes in at second at 53. Then you got rounding out the top five, Justin Herbert at 52.5, Lamar Jackson 52, and Jalen Hurts 51. All of those were signed within the past 3 years. So like, they're setting that market. You start to look down, the next one, it was Kyler at 46. So there was that big gap once you hit 50, and look how quickly, we're going to be passing, 55 going into 60 now. And when you look at Goff's numbers, man, like career numbers, he's 66-50-1. Okay, a little bit, 16 games above 500. He's got a 93.6 quarterback rating, 185-82 touchdown to interception. That's decent numbers. I don't know if it quite warrants 53, but I think it's kind of a show of appreciation. He was just kind of an afterthought in the Stafford trade. Just ship him out to Detroit. Nobody thought he was going to be anything better than what he was in L.A., and he absolutely turned that on its head. So good for Jared Goff, man.
Yeah, I mean, but also, what have you done for me lately? He's a 68% completion percentage last year, 34 touchdowns to 12 picks last year, including the postseason, had a QB rating of a 103 in the postseason, and got a lot of credit for how that offense flowed. Do I think he's worth that type of money? I don't know, but I'm really happy for him because for a guy that was embraced in L.A. and then traded for Stafford, yeah, L.A. wins the Super Bowl, booted out. Yep. Hey, you're going to Detroit, which at the time was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, that's like being traded to Oakland, you know what I mean, to play baseball.
And you know what's great about this contract too? Big ups, $170 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
$170 million. Wow.
Yeah. Hopefully Ipe doesn't get a hold of him.
LeBron James was in attendance for the Cavs and Celtics game until things went south for Cleveland. And then LeBron made a quick exit because he had to beat the La Traffic. What do y'all think of the game?
If that game was in LA, I think that would have been the only thing that would have made that joke better. That was great.
Okay. Where do I want to start? Like, do I want to start with like the playoffs, or do I want to start with like your question on LeBron? I think that series. Yeah, let's start with LeBron, right? Brian Windhorst said there's nothing that LeBron does without a motive. The last time he was in Cleveland was for Ilgauskas' retirement game. So there's there's a reason why LeBron's in attendance in Cleveland. I don't know what that reason is. I don't know if it's something.
Go back again.
Yeah, does he go back again and end it there?
He can't. No, I'm not even lying. If I'm from Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell. You can't come back. You cannot come back. You're not allowed. You don't get up and dip once, and then you don't get up and dip twice to come back a third time. Screw you.
Cleveland will always take him back with open arms, especially for like that. This is basically going to be his last one. Bronny will be there. It'll be like a legacy thing. Like, no, absolutely.
I get it. I get it. And but as a fan, no.
And Windhorst and him are so close. Like, Windhorst has been right on everything LeBron. They're very, very close. So, like, I trust him for what he's saying.
In terms of LeBron, right, if he goes back to Cleveland, I don't know what to say. You know, like life comes full circle. But at the same time, why in God's name would you want to live in Cleveland ever again?
Here, I don't think he ever left Cleveland, Dino. I think he's always maintained a residence there in Cleveland.
It's a full circle. They burn his jersey every like 5 years. I mean, like, what do you want them? They're going to put their ashes together for the third time.
Did they do it on the second time though? Cause I thought that was kind of just like, all right, yeah, we get it. All right. I think he went straight to LA. So
yeah,
like,
I think he went straight to LA. I don't think many people burned it, but I will say this. If he goes back to Cleveland, I don't want to hear this GOAT conversation. I really don't.
You think he's out for the running of greatest of all time if he goes back to Cleveland?
It's just like, dude, like what? Like it's just too much. You know what I mean? Cleveland, Miami, Lakers.
If he goes to Cleveland and win, if he goes to Cleveland and wins a championship, absolutely goes.
Yes, it's a little different, but like
another one.
Cleveland to Miami to Cleveland to LA to Cleveland. Like, dude, I'm sorry, I can't fucking follow all this, man. I can't follow this. Jordan, really simple, right? Really simple. Bulls sucked ass in baseball. Bullets Wizards. Like, yeah. Deepaw, and Jedi, God knows if you're watching NBA playoffs. I don't suspect you are, because I had a realization the other day. Is like, I'm watching 10 dudes run left, run right, and put a ball in a hoop. Like, it's honestly the stupidest sport in the world. But when you get
finally agree.
Actually, no, I disagree. Like, it's soccer is probably the worst sport.
Soccer is worse. Yeah,
no, it's definitely not.
But
no,
basketball's close second. Is.
Like, tell me, name one sport you can't use your hands. Go, soccer. Got
soccer.
It. Yeah, stupid. Anyway, sport would be so much better if you could. Anyway, not the point. You got the banger in the West. T-Wolves, Nuggets. Nuggets lose both at home. T-Wolves will lose both at home. You know, like, and in my opinion, that's the best two teams in basketball right now. The Celtics
and Jokic is turning that entire series around too.
Yes.
Like, you just can't guard the dude. And he's honestly, I think the Nuggets are going to, after looking really shaky, I think they're going to pull this out. I think they're going to sweep him at the next two games too. I think they close it out real quick.
Yeah, the Nuggets got punched in the face, and they're coming right back down to earth. That's probably, in my opinion, that's the deepest team in the playoffs. I still am holding it that's the best team left. The Celtics are literally favored by 12, 15 points every single night. So the fact that Cleveland even won a game, good for them. But and then you have my Knicks against the Pacers, in which it's been an up and down series. The Knicks are not healthy. Honestly,
2-2.
Yeah, honestly, do I think the Knicks win the series? I don't know, because the Pacers are not good on the road. So I do think the Knicks do take him in seven. But I think if the Knicks were healthy, they would have a legitimate shot to beat Boston. But they're not healthy. OG Anunoby's down.
Yeah, I was going to say, I couldn't pronounce his name, Ojanobi.
Yeah. OG Anunoby's down. Randall's down. Bogdanovich is down. Mitchell Robinson is down. You're missing some key pieces. So
I saw, Dino, not to interrupt, with Ojanobi, they're 28-6 this year. And without him, they're like 10 games under 500. It's crazy disparity.
Yes, he is a legit difference maker. He can guard anyone on the floor. And when you run four guards with him as the fourth guard, he can pretty much play power forward. It does change the look a little bit. But I've actually been enjoying these NBA playoffs. I'm extremely interested to see where this goes. But I am going on record. I still think it's going to be Nuggets Celtics for the title. I'm waiting the second question because I know what the second question is going to be about LeBron. I know where it's going. You're not going to bash your boy Bronny?
Be honest. I don't care.
Okay,
fine. You want me to bash him because I know Tommy's listening and he's going to want this. You lie about your height, 6'4", and then he's 6'1"? Yes. That might be the biggest clown show of the year. It might be. It's definitely a contender.
Trash bag.
That's all I'll say. It's a trash bag. It's a clown show. And honestly, it's a scumbag for lying to all of us. We thought that you were the truth and you weren't. Not even close.
Deepaw, when you played college baseball, did you lie about your height in the program?
No.
I have never lied about my height. No.
Oh, okay.
Did you?
Yeah.
Houdini.
Okay, that's because 6'4", you're like 5'5", 220. Dude.
Jedi. I'm going to fuck you up. I'm 5'10 and a half, okay? I'm 5'10 and a half. You know what? I'm not even going to make the point. I'm not even going to make the point.
You walked right into that. You knew I was going to do that. No, you should know me better than that.
It's fine. You just set it up on a tee for me.
That's why.
It's fine, dude. It's fine. I'm not even going to make my point. This is what I'm going to say because, you know, you want to go this way, I'll go this way. I hope I am so wrong about Bronny James. I hope he's a stud. I hope – who's the other guy you freaking hate? I hope
– Caleb Williams.
I hope Manfred is the commissioner for the rest of his life.
The greatest commissioner of all time.
Yeah, I hope Caleb Williams is the biggest stud.
Solves world hunger.
No, I'm kidding. Honestly, the Bronny James thing, he performed really well. He went from being projected to be drafted in like 39th overall. I think the over-under was 39.5. Now he's at like 32.5, kind of flirting with the first round. He's had a good outing at the combine. He's medically cleared to go. The height thing is kind of an issue, though. 6'4 is a point guard, is just a guard in general. Point guard, shooting guard, swing man. 6'1, you're looking at strictly a point guard.
And he's got to – I don't know enough about him. Can he defend? That's what his career is going to come down to. Okay, you can shoot the three. Basically, everybody in the NBA can shoot the three. There's no mid-range jumpers anymore. You're 6'1.5. He's got good ball handling skills, but can he defend NBA talent? Like, that's really what it's going to come down to. If he can't, he's just going to be a bench guy.
I mean, how do you lie about 3 inches, though? I know people, Houdini, you know who I'm thinking of right now, who lied like 1.5, maybe 2, but 3 inches, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's different when you're like 5'10 and someone lies and says they're 6 foot. But saying you're 6'1 and 6'4 is two different things because there's a drastic difference, like visually.
So I did read this in college. I don't think it makes up for a full 2.5 inches here, but in college, they actually take their measurements, quote unquote, with their shoes on.
That's not 2 inches. I give you maybe an inch. Like if he was listed at 6'3 because you rounded up, I get it. But you're talking about 2.5 inches missing here. Yeah, big difference. Yeah. And you could do a lot with 2.5 inches.
Maybe they're going off of like future growth potential. Like he's going to be 6'4 because he's still young.
I mean, what is this, a pediatrician?
I mean, did you guys watch the NBA combine at all? Or were you just looking at highlights?
I just saw highlights. The only combine I'll watch is the NFL.
Did any of you see Zach Edey run?
No, it's comical. It's comical.
He looks like the guy from Happy Gilmore. Mr. Larson. That belongs with Mr. Gilmore.
Yeah, Mr. Larson.
That's who he looked like. His arms were the same thing.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. I don't care what he runs like. The dude can finesse around the rim. So I don't – he's gotten a lot of shit, but I don't know why. Like back in the day, Like he's the 1-1. Now that the centers aren't valued as much as they were in the past, he's middle of the pack type of guy. Yeah,
even a decade ago, he's 1-1.
100%. You know, but you know, Klingon is obviously really good too. So he'll probably go lottery. But how Zach Edey's not in the conversation of being, you know, an early first round pick blows my mind.
Well, you know, at the end of the championship, Bobby Hurley, who knows way more about basketball
and is around,
you're right, Danny Hurley, yep, knows way more about basketball than I do, will ever know. And he saw Klingon every single day. If he said he's an NBA player, like, I'll default to his judgment there.
Still sticking with basketball, Caitlin Clark has changed the WNBA in her career already. For the first time, the WNBA players are taking charter flights, but not just the Indiana Fever, the entire WNBA. The league is now making enough money for all the teams to take charter flights. Prior to this, all the players had to take commercial flights. I just think it's crazy that the amount of power that she has with how many people that love her and how many fans that she has, that she's made such an impact with these jersey sales, tickets, viewership, sponsorships, the shoes I'm sure are selling that she has now, to where the whole league is now able to have charter flights. And she's so young in her career.
Yeah, this is awesome for the sport. Like, look, I'm not a female, right? Like that's obvious.
Thank you, Dean.
You're welcome.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome. I do not watch women's sports for the most part. Like if it's the Olympics, it's a little different, yeah. You know? But there's a professional softball league. There's four teams in it. You know what I mean? They just started a professional women's hockey league. I don't know how many teams are in that.
Eight.
The best thing that they can do is continue to grow the WNBA. It's good for young girls that, you know, want to aspire to play college basketball to go play professionally if they're really good. This is a home run for all young women out there that want to aspire to be a professional athlete. And Caitlin Clark goes to Iowa and does it. Like, I have so much respect for her, her game, and what she's doing for that sport that, like, hats off. I do think it's a little embarrassing that that's what it had to take for these professional athletes to take charter flights. But however you get there, it doesn't matter. The fact that they're selling out every night and the basketball's getting better. You know, like, I have a video on my Instagram that's saved because it's hysterical of, like, WNBA highlights, and it's terrible. But with the increase of good basketball players in college basketball, you're now – are you laughing? I'll cut that.
I won't.
With the increase in how good women's college basketball has been, you're seeing an increase of how good the WNBA could be.
I will say this, and I'm wondering if you'll agree with me on this, and I don't mean this in any sort of like malice or harmful way, but do you think the Caitlin Clark hype dies out? Is it a phase? Because I am tending to think that, and I promise I don't mean it in a bad way at all. I'm not rooting for like her downfall. I'm not. But I just think that there's so much hype around her from what she's been able to do that eventually, give it like a year, maybe 2 years, no one really cares anymore. And then it might go back to what it was. Do you see that happening at all? The WNBA?
I don't, just because I feel like this is as good a chance as they've ever had to grow the game quickly. And for what we've seen in the first 2 weeks of her career, she's already, like you mentioned, in the lead up to this, she's already changed the entire league. So do I think in a year or two? No, I think she's still too talented. I still think that hype is still going to be around there. You know, this was a huge year for women's college basketball too. Like it beat NCAA tournament numbers in some of those games. I think the big thing is going to be, does that translate till next year? And if you can do that, I think that kind of keeps that momentum going. If you can keep the momentum going in college, that's automatically going to lead into the WNBA and keeping those, you know, new stars, the next Caitlin Clark, you know what I mean? That kind of build upon that.
I think naturally you'll see a drop off just compared to how much hype women's March Madness had. So in terms of that, into the WNBA draft, into her first preseason game, it might have been, what, 4 weeks? Like, that's probably the peak excitement. But as for a severe drop-off, no. If she continues to have success, I think, especially in Indiana, which is a basketball town, I do think she maintains that momentum.
Well, I guess we'll leave it up to the future. And let us know in the comments, what do you think? Do you think it's going to have a drop-off, or do you think Caitlin Clark's going to keep the WNBA growing or just sustaining what it's at right now, which is an all-time high? That'll do for us here at Hot Shots Podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media at Hot Shots Podcast on all social media platforms. And until then, we'll talk to you next time.